the right thing. Because if he had said something else, he should
have. And took the nails for me. This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back. This is another edition of
Glorious Day.
Yeah, well, that's great. We didn't plan that, did we?
No, and I'm Pastor Barry, and that is
Pastor David.
Hey, David.
Hey, welcome. Well, if you were listening to us last week, we talked about accountability to God and to others. Critical point. And some of you may have some questions, and, you know, gosh, if you have questions, you can always try to reach us through the radio station here, WCNO. Their phone number is 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. And they'll tell us you're trying to reach us, and you'll give them a name and a phone number, and one of us will get back to you. But tonight, we're kind of following the what we started with last week, accountability to God and others.
Mm-hmm.
This week, the theme is reconciliation, the proper spiritual response to our accountability, and the willingness to be reconciled. Reconciliation is an important spiritual work. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a big job. Thank God it's God doing it, because I couldn't do it, Barry.
Amen, brother. I can't either.
We have two scriptures we're going to read tonight. One is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, and I'm going to read that, and after we've kind of unpacked this, then Barry's going to read the next one, a reading from Matthew. And he has a story that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Barry's stories, and they're all true.
Yeah, they are.
They're all true. But first of all, so from 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. This is a familiar selection of verses. Most people have read this at least once,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of sermons have been preached on it. So Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." And right away, because Paul packs a lot into a few verses.
He's quite prolific.
He is very prolific. And I love the way in all of his, you got to read Paul's letters. I just recommend, especially start with Romans, because it's the best distillation of the theology of the gospel in there. But getting back to this, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. And that begins, we talked about transformation in the last session.
Mm-hmm.
And if that new creation begins, it's not completed in the 7 nanoseconds after you invite Jesus into your heart. It begins, and it begins in a process that goes for the rest of your natural worldly life, your natural life on earth. But the old, that is the old person, the old self, begins to change. It begins to become not irrelevant, but it gives way to the new self, the new that Jesus is making in you. Because from the very beginning of your acceptance of Christ as Lord and Savior, he is making you citizens of the kingdom.
That's beautiful.
You know, you have a brand new, what is our passports in the Bible? I guess I have an American passport. It's blue cover,
mm-hmm.
And my picture's in it. I always have to apologize to the people when we travel. So, sorry, you got to look at that. But, our passport is outlined in the Word of God. It's powerful stuff. But reconciliation is a powerful word, and it's a holy word, and it's something that God is doing in Christ for us.
Mm.
Because, you know, the old self, we can't connect with God. We can't relate to God. the old self, the sinful self, the self that's not has not received Jesus in their hearts and therefore doesn't have that unity with Jesus that we are promised and that what does occur as soon as we invite him in. Without that, there is no reconciliation with God, really. And at the end of our lives, if we don't have a life in Christ, then all that sinful nature is going to, when we go before the Lord, what I love Barry's phrase, the white throne judgment. But that's, I guess, a revelation reflection.
Right.
But when we go before God, if we don't have, if we're not embedded in Christ, then God sees just us and our sin. And it's our sin is so abhorrent to God that is why, you know, we are cast into the sea of fire.
Mm-hmm.
We're cast away from God because he cannot tolerate sin. But in Christ, this is the thing. You know, it's so simple. You know, although it did take me 39 years to finally figure it out.
Is that all?
Almost, yeah. To finally get this graphic. And here I am, a cartoonist and an artist. And to finally get this graphic that when I received Jesus, he received me. He took me into himself.
Mm.
And so when God looks on me, he sees his son. And that's exactly what the Word of God says. And I want that. Now I know, but you know, I wanted him before I really had an idea what that all meant.
Amen.
But so Jesus then, in receiving him as Lord and Savior, inviting him to come into us, he takes us into himself, begins a process of reconciliation with God. Right?
And in that reconciliation with God, we are gifted with a peace beyond our explanation and understanding.
Mm.
And it's a peace that emanates from you. In the good times and the rough times, there's that peace. And having that peace is also a way that you're proclaiming Christ.
Yeah.
In other words, when people see, okay, David, you're going through the same thing I did, and it was very painful, and it was a nightmare, but you're going through it with some grace and dignity, and you seem to have some inner peace there that I don't have, and I don't understand what that is, but I want it.
Yes, yes.
And you know, sometimes we don't even know that we're giving off that kind of a vibe when we go through stuff. And I'm a chaplain during the week, and I see some of my residents going through some really rough stuff. Like one patient of mine said, the doctor came in and said, I've got 150,000 miles on me. They don't make the parts anymore, and the only mechanic that can fix me is dead. But he went through it with a smile.
Yeah.
Because he says, whether I live or die, I am the Lord's.
Amen.
And there's a peace in that, knowing that when you stand before the Lord, he sees Christ in you. You should have peace in that. It takes away all that, I won't say the fear of death, but maybe the worry part of it, the self-examination, the self-doubt, things like that. And it's hard to explain to a non-Christian, an unbeliever, what that is.
Yeah,
it's like trying to tell a blind man what colors look like.
You know?
And yet, by the way in which you live your life, with that inner peace and the reconciliation that's occurred, it's infectious, David.
It is. Oh, yeah.
People want that. I want that. How do I go about it? You've opened the door.
Yeah.
You know, like we said in the last show, we don't save anybody. You know, God does the saving, but it's each and every Christian's responsibility to bring people to the cross.
Amen.
And then back off and give them the time to have their moment with Christ.
And because in Christ we are reconciled with God, that reconciled relationship is very evident to those around us, to the world. When Jesus is working through us in any situation of sharing the gospel, and that, get back to the word reconciliation. You know, when I think of that, and from people to people, you know, we all have moments when we disagree, and sometimes our disagreements get so vehement.
Oh yeah,
we get angry, and one of us turns and runs away, and you know, or gets upset that, well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. You know, he made me upset.
And both parties will never find peace until they reconcile.
Absolutely.
There's that little part of them that prevents them from fully loving, from fully celebrating, from being fully fulfilled. I said that wrong. But they cannot be fulfilled in their life if they're hanging on to that, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Not been reconciled. And
we're good at, we call them grudges, and many people collect them. Mm-hmm. You know, like some folks collect stamps or coins. Well, some people collect grudges.
Oh, yeah, you're on my list. You're number 75 on my list of people that I won't talk to anymore, right?
When my wife and I were dating and she met my father, soon before we were married, but certainly afterwards, when my dad back then gave off the impression anyway that he had a couple of lists of names of people.
Right.
You wanted to be on the one, the good list, okay? There was another list. And if your name got on that, the theory anyway was, or the understanding was, that you would never get off. And that was a bad list.
Right.
And you didn't want to get on there. And my wife was so concerned that she not get on that list. And I assured her, you know, hey, that's, yeah, you got to be doing something really egregious to get on that list, you know.
Mm.
But I think later on my father got, you know, much more mellow and less unforgiving. He was more forgiving later on in life, and I think maybe he probably crumpled that other list up and threw it away, you know.
I pray that he did, because, you know, you want him to have peace.
Well, and I think he did, but here's the thing with the word peace, because God reckons, so we have the peace as scripture. This is scriptural. It's the peace that passes all
understanding.
Yeah, because we don't understand how we got it, and yet there it is, because we're reconciled to God, we're in Christ, we're full of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, not perfect by a long shot, but this grace of God in our saved status, you know, in the relationship we have with Him is just so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have that peace in the midst of what is often a challenging life.
You know, I'm a fan of the Beatles, and I was just reading a story online, an interview with Paul McCartney, and there was a terrible fracture in his relationship with John Lennon when the Beatles broke up. And before that, there was a lot of squabbling going on. And they spent many years not speaking to each other. The only way that they would speak to each other was to take a shot at each other through their music. They had little secret words they put in there. But both sides had family members that realized this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have hate in their heart,
yeah,
where there was once love.
Yeah,
they met when they were 16 years old, you know.
Mm.
And the reporter questioned Paul McCartney, did you finally reconcile with John before he was murdered? And Paul said yes, that they actually sat down, ironed some things out, and they parted as the same friends they were when they met when they were young.
Mm.
And he's very grateful to God for that.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine if they didn't reconcile and then one party's gone and you cannot reach out to them,
yeah,
to fix this? Well, they were given the gift of reconciliation shortly before John Lennon was taken from us.
Yes.
And I read that, and many people can learn a lesson from that.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that they're listening and reading, and because, you know, we're on limited time here.
Yes.
Not just for the program, David, but, you know,
right.
But we're on limited time in our small lives. And so many years are wasted. They're so wasted. As a chaplain, I see people that from fractured families where they've carried it right into their late 80s, early 90s of age.
Right.
And they've never made up with their sister, their brother, their whoever they weren't speaking to. And they are miserable.
Yeah.
And, you know, we celebrate when we can finally get them together and witness the reconciliation.
Yeah.
But it's few and far between, and it's hard to... It's hard to pray with them and pray for peace when you know what they're hanging on to in their hearts. And God is incredibly powerful and merciful, and He will grant them some peace.
Yes.
But it sure would have been easier 45, 50 years ago if they would have just lowered the shields, if you will,
yeah,
and went up to each other and made peace and reconciled.
When you think about the truth that God desires to reconcile with us and us with Him.
Yeah,
that's a
before
big part.
Before it's too late.
Before it's too late, yeah, because that's a big part of this of His saving grace,
mm-hmm,
and the gospel. But because since God is willing to do that, why should we not be willing to reconcile with others?
Mm.
You know, instead of carrying the grudges. And even I got to tell you, I'll be honest. Even as I'm saying this, mm-hmm, I remember a couple of people I probably need to get in touch with.
Well,
myself.
I'll take over the microphone. You go do it now, David.
Okay? Right. I think they're. Well, it's not too late, but
they might be
getting ready for bed, but I definitely know I need to pray about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have ministered to people who come to me back when I had an office, you know, and I had I was involved in the bigger churches. And,
right.
So many of them came, and they would sit down across me, and they would say, I don't really know why I'm here, and I don't know what to tell you, but I've been really struggling. I have some health issues and, you know, emotional stuff, and I don't know where to begin. Well, the Lord had taught me early on that where you start is where, you know, where your, I'm going to say sin issues, but particularly unforgiveness, because reconciliation contains a really strong forgiveness element.
Yes, it does.
Letting go of anger and, you know, trying to get, you know, when you reconcile with somebody, by the way, it doesn't mean you can end up being fishing buddies again. You know, you reconcile, you get through that. You may or may not establish a long-term deep relationship, but you have both dropped your burden. And that's what that's what unforgiveness is. It is a great burden.
A great burden, and it's also a blockage between you and God.
Yeah.
A local preacher here once had a sermon on reconciliation and unresolved issues, things like that. And we were waiting for him to come in and get to the altar and preach. And we heard a racket from the back of the church, and he was coming into the door, and he must have had 15 or 16 big boxes duct taped to his body. They read things like hatred, bad decisions, guilt, regret, you name it. All of this was on him. And he ran with all these boxes taped to him. I got to give him this. He could still run. And they had a big cross behind the altar, one of those 20-foot crosses.
Oh, yeah.
And he ran up, and he tried to hug the cross. And he couldn't quite get to the cross because all of this was in the way. And what a picture of that painter for everybody.
Wow.
And he said, that's when he preached on reconciliation. And he gave everybody homework that day. You need to go home and pick up the phone and reach out to the people that you're not reconciled with. A powerful picture that he painted. Would you mind if I read Matthew?
Oh, no. I was actually thinking this leads right up to that Matthew reading.
Matthew 5:23-24. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I saw this and was hit between the eyes because I'm witnessing this right now with a family that I'm very close with. I don't think they'll hear the program because they're in different states, but you never know.
Well, you never know.
You never know. They could have found us, and I'm just saying that this is a family that I grew up with. Both families had the same amount of kids, and both families had no money. Mm. And we were no money fun kids together, and we're still in contact. We might as well call each other our biological brothers. And
wow.
So these two brothers did very well in their life, financially and in their lives. And they both are members of big churches in different states. And when their mother passed, there was a huge rift that formed over how their mother was treated in her final days and money stuff, and on it goes, as it will happen.
Mm.
And at the funeral that I did for their mother, there was a scene when the last word was spoken and the last note of music was finished. They had a standoff and said they will never be considered brothers again, and they left in separate doors.
Mm.
This eats away at me.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching this, and I know how much they truly care for each other. And then they each individually would send me messages about what's going on in their churches, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
But then this verse, this comes right back to me. This is from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's talking to them.
Yeah.
Until you're reconciled, your gift has no value.
Mm-hmm.
I cry when I think about it because I just know how close they were. I'm not sure how the rift started, but it's just a story of one family. All of you out there may know another family just like this, or in your own family.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's been 6 months, a year, 10 years, 15, 20 years since there was that ripping apart of the family. And I'd like you to just pray about this and meditate on these verses. Because in doing so, you're hearing from Jesus himself saying, listen, I'm paraphrasing now, but I appreciate your effort with the gift,
yeah,
but it would mean so much more if you and your brother reconciled.
Amen.
And I just had to share that, David. I feel better now, but
well,
But they still have some work to do, and I'm helping any way I can.
And I know you're praying for them, and God is hearing those prayers, and he has a plan for them. But while you're sharing that story, I know many listeners have suddenly been reminded of reconciliation needs in their family, between them and somebody else, or as they observe other people in the family or friends. Look, it doesn't matter if it's family or friends or whatever, but God is in the business of bringing people back together in peace. And all of these things we carry with us, these grudges, it's a heavy burden. I will give you one example, one of many that I have experienced, again, talking in my days pastoring in bigger churches where there are more people.
Oh, yeah.
Now I have fewer people. But I had one of the churches that I worked in, we had a Sunday evening healing service, you know? Mm-hmm. And we'd get together and we had music and great worship and Holy Spirit was moving and, you know, on some occasions I'd have an eloquent sermon.
I'm humble.
Yeah, but don't tell me that because I'll believe it.
And then
I'll get too humble and then, oh, that's bad. But no, but, and in the course of that, we would invite people to come up for prayer, you know, for anointing, holy oil anointing, and for themselves or others. Mm-hmm. And we had one family that came, a father and a mother and a daughter. And it was an adult daughter, and she came up one Sunday, and I could tell she was walking up with, she was in some kind of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So when she came up, and you know, she said, I said, what would you like prayer for? And she said, my back is killing me. And I knew the family, which helped, but the Lord immediately said to me, she's in pain because she is. Her father has done something that she's angry with him about.
Right.
And she needs to forgive him.
Okay.
And so instead of starting with, you know, laying on of hands the anointing and, oh, God, please go and heal this woman's back or whatever, I said, is there anybody that you're angry with? That really, really angry with? And it didn't take her but maybe a half a second to say, well, my father, I'm really angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, look, I said, I believe your pain in your back is directly related to your anger.
Ah.
And I said, so before I ask God to heal your back, I'm asking you to forgive your father. She thought about it for a minute. And, you know, she had a couple things to say, and I said some things back to help her, but she finally said, okay, all right, you know, I will forgive my dad. And I said, all right, with that in mind, then we prayed for her back,
okay,
all that. She went back to her seat at the end of the service as coming back, you know, to say goodnight and everything, and she was just all beaming. She said, my back, the pain is gone, you know. And I said, well,
hallelujah,
you know. And because this, how often our lack of reconciliation, with others, our broken relationships, we hold that pain.
It's got to go somewhere, David.
It's got to go somewhere, and it's a spiritual and emotional thing, you know. And I'll tell you, which is to say, if we're angry at somebody, that anger isn't hurting them at all.
They don't feel it.
They don't feel it. They don't know it most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's hurting us, you know. So God doesn't want us to wander around in those kinds of pains. Because pain imprisons us.
That's right. It's a correlation.
Yeah.
You know, for the amount of anger and hatred and unforgiveness you have,
yeah,
it's going to come out, you know, that much in your body. That's why people are insomnia.
Yeah. Okay.
Insomniacs and, and, you know, high blood pressure and you name it. It all comes out somewhere, you know. And, you know, these two brothers that I was talking about, they both have issues. They both have physical issues. And they don't know why. So I'm glad you shared that story because it's given me some fodder. I need to talk to them individually and then pray for me if I talk to them together. They're bigger than me.
And you're a pretty big guy. So, yeah. I definitely, you let me know when the time is coming. We'll get into prayer about that.
I appreciate that.
And I hope that our listeners are picking up on this, that again, reconciliation isn't just with God and us. It begins there. But it doesn't end there. It then reaches out into every aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm gonna lay out here. I said I had remembered some people that I needed to be reconciled with, and there's one group in my family that I'm praying now to God. I'm asking. It's gonna take a while, perhaps. I don't know. God's timing is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pretty close family folk. And there's a rift between us,
mm-hmm.
and I think I've been judging. You know, we talk about not doing that, but yet even seasoned believers do that.
Absolutely.
But I need to put that off to the side, and this is what I'm gonna be my brothers and sisters, not just my brother Barry, but you guys out there, you guys and gals. I'm gonna ask you to let me be accountable to you, mm-hmm. that I'm going to pray about this, and at some point I pray that I'll have a testimony to share with you on the air.
I think that'd be wonderful.
Yeah,
you know, you're leading by example, David.
Well, yeah, I need to, right?
Your shepherd showing.
Right, my shepherd is. So I've been sheepish about it up till now, but yeah,
that's hard to say.
I know it is. I would, any last words before, because we're running out of time again, as we always do.
Yes. If you have a fear, if you're afraid to reconcile, you know, maybe you're fearing that you'll be rebuffed,
yeah.
and maybe get your feelings hurt all over again. This is where faith comes in. If the Lord's telling you in your heart to reconcile with your brother or sister, you take that step.
Yeah.
Someone has to make the first step. You take the first step. You put your hand out. In friendship, you're on a mission from God. He will protect you. You need to have faith. Like we talked about programs back, Peter stepping off the boat in faith.
Yeah.
We're asking that you step out in faith and you be the one. You be the one to begin the
yes.
process of reconciliation. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised because they're probably thinking the same way.
Amen.
So you take that out into the world, into your world, and you trust God.
That's amen. And I'd just like to offer, before we close, a brief prayer, but feel it on my heart. Father, I thank you for your sharing with me that I need to reconcile with some important folks in my life. And that it's hard being a preacher and hearing your own sermons.
Mm.
But I want to do that, Father. And I know others have heard the same thing who have been listening to this program. And so I want to lift all of us up, and I want to ask for your grace, your Holy Spirit, to guide us, give us the clarity of thought, presence of mind, the peace of the heart, and to show us your timing, as well as how we may leave the gift that we're bringing to you on the altar and go and reconcile with our brothers and sisters before we come back into your presence. Because we want to come back into your presence cleansed and renewed. And Father, we ask for this grace in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
To all of you, have either a good morning or a good night, depending on when you are listening. And we'll see you next week.
God bless you all. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Let every heart start beating in rhythm with your blood. Let every sound we're hearing be drowned out by perfect love. Adding to all the noise. shake the world like thunder with a still small voice.